flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, to win a Super Bowl, and they didn't get it done, unfortunately. And we all wanted that to happen. And that was John Harbaugh yesterday, the end of season press conference. Think about that. End of season press conference. We're not going to hear from him or Eric DaCosta or any of the players, I wouldn't think. Players in particular until like OTAs, whoever decides to show up.
Yeah, April or May.
DaCosta and Harbsey, what, Senior Bowl?
About no,
a month
combine.
Or so.
Combine,
rather, yeah.
Yeah.
About a month or so away. Free agency, depending on who they sign.
Yeah.
That could be happening in March, but that's kind of it. Players cleaned out their locker. They're gone, some never to return. But he was talking about how he would characterize the season. And this is something we want to ask you today at 410-583-1057. Vinny and Haney on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Get your votes in Featured Artist Friday. Coming up 11 o'clock. With your goal being to win the championship.
Mm-hmm.
They won the AFC North. Didn't get to the conference championship, so obviously they didn't win that. And didn't win the Super Bowl. They're not even playing. They're not invited to the Super Bowl. How do you characterize the season based on goals? And we've talked about it 1,000 times. You show up to training camp. Well, get to the playoffs. Win your division. Get home field. Win the championship of your conference and then win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They got one home field game. It was a wild card game. And, of course, only one team gets that now because of the expanded field. And that was Kansas City playing in their, what, seventh consecutive championship game. Then they lose frustratingly to Buffalo as favorites. Let's keep stressing. In most of these playoff losses, they've been favored in the game.
Yep.
Disappointing end, but big picture, successful season. A lot of layers to that one, man.
I would say this, because I think I remember, Bob, at the beginning of the season, we talked about Super Bowl or bust. They had, because they were in, like you just said, they were an AFC championship game last year.
Favored.
Yes. All right. At home, had the number one best record in football. They had a better, by the end of the year, a better team than last year. At least the offense was better. But I think overall, a better team. So you lost in the second round of the playoffs. I'd say that was a disappointing season. If I'm the owner, if I'm Steve Bisciotti, I'm like, you know, second year Lamar, second year of the system, number one in offense. Lamar's going to be the MVP again. The defense stunk at the beginning, but by the end of the year, they were one of the better defenses. I'm disappointed. disappointed. I mean, there was some good things that happened during the year, no doubt about it. Some good performances, Lamar, Derek, you know, Bateman, there was some, the O-line, a lot of great things. But the end, the outcome at the end, I'm disappointed. You know, I'm still thinking to be, like all the national people, Bob, said the best team is already out.
Sure.
You know, so underachieved, I would say, right?
Well, based on your expectations, but we can flip it to the best team. They lost to Buffalo, lost to Kansas City, lost to Philadelphia, beat Washington. So what makes you say they were the best team? The 9 Pro Bowlers winning the AFC North? I mean, Buffalo clinched their division a month ago. Yeah. Kansas City ran away with the AFC West. So I think you can, talent-wise, especially when the defense turned around, sure, you can make that argument. But are they really the best team when they went head-to-head with three of the four teams in the championship games and lost to three of them? They played all four teams in the championship games. Nolan, get in here. And they lost to three of them. Are they really the best team?
The only thing I would say is they lost to them. But they beat themselves in every one of them.
But they still lost.
Right. No, I get that.
You beat yourself in one game, but three of the four?
Yeah, you have your turnovers in those three games. So, you know, you got to give the credit.
You had the ball for 12 minutes against Philly in the third quarter, didn't score before the bye at home. You know what I mean? So, look, we like to say they're the best team and they are capable of beating anyone at any time. But these are facts. Yeah. They played all four teams playing this weekend and lost to three of them. It is what it is.
I think you're right. They can't be considered the best team then. And also their shortcomings or the self-inflicted wounds, shooting yourself in the foot, that's part of their identity. Because that we labeled all of their regular season losses
and penalties
that way. So it's not like it came out of nowhere where this was the first game. Oh, man, you know, the Ravens lost it. And they just surprised everyone. No, Bill Belichick all season, all the analysts, all the pundits, that was the biggest talking point around the Ravens. It was the only thing that made talking about the Ravens interesting on a national level, because other than that, it was, oh, this team's a juggernaut. I mean, on the surface, that's kind of boring, unless you're a Ravens fan. But they were human. They had an Achilles heel, and that was all the penalty issues at times. Communication early in the season. Turnovers in the playoffs. So,
in crucial situations.
That's the Ravens. That's who they were this year.
But, and then you talk about they beat themselves, but, you know, the best team in football doesn't do that.
I agree, especially at critical times. You know, and Bob, you said it more probably than anybody. All goes back to Raiders, Cleveland, you know, those games that you gave away cost you now, because instead of playing in Buffalo, you'd have played in Baltimore. And if they'd have played in Baltimore, probably a different deal.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, something that we talked about yesterday as well. We got a lot to get to. You want to join us, you can. How would you, ladies and gentlemen, judge this season? Success, disappointment? I mean, they went, well, you know that you watch the games. 410-583-1057. I don't have to read their resume anymore. But Dean Pease, and we talked about this yesterday, Vinny, when you got back from one winning drive, his role in Zach Orr's development as a DC. And the Ravens post by were arguably the best defense in football.
I think Dean had a big influence, you know, on the defense, probably all the coaches. And philosophy, because what did Harb say? We went back to the basics of the defense. And Dean was part of that, going back to the basics of the defense and getting the fundamentals back. So I think he probably taught probably what they needed, you know, when they all first got hired. They needed Dean to talk about the philosophy and the fundamentals of how this defense works. So a little late there, but I think, and it showed throughout how Dean helped, along with the changes that they made personnel-wise, which was big. Now, Zach Orr, I mean, the first time you ever do anything, Bob, I mean, like we talk about rookies, year one to year two, they make the biggest jump. And I would think, and look at what Mike McDonald.
Hey, first time I hosted a radio show, I didn't know what the bleep I was doing. Hey, please dance, you guys. You know what I mean? That sort of thing with no energy. You learn. But is Zach Gore, because I didn't know Dean Pease was 75 years old. So I read it. Yeah, I didn't know that. You're ready. Fly, Raven, fly. You know how the bird, no pun intended, leaves the nest? Is he that comfortable, even though John Harbaugh did say, he'd like to stick around in some capacity?
Well, I would think that Zach learned a ton. And, all right, you just go back to a year ago when Zach first got hired. Probably had ideas. He didn't know what he was doing, bottom line, because he'd never done it before. Now, been there, done that. And Bob, he's going to be so much more confident. Like right now, whatever they're doing right now, he knows, you know, much more than he did. And then going into training camp, it's not going to be his first training camp. It's not going to be his first time calling plays. You know, so all those things become that much easier for him. And I think the way he used Dean is, you know, Dean gets a film at home. And I think now Zach could probably be a lot more comfortable, Bob, calling him for, hey, you know, because he knows Dean's not going to be there every day because he needed Dean there every day. So now you just kind of need, like, the tutor.
Sure. Like Michael Corleone with Don Corleone.
Yeah. So, like he's
the person
watching.
The that invites you to the meeting, that's the traitor.
Yeah, like if they're, you know, like you call them after the games, Dean, what did you see in the game? Okay, you know. And then you use it that way. Not he has to be there every day.
5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Pad. Total Request Thursday. Pick a song. We'll play it. Send your song request. Nolan McGraw at 410-583-1057. Terps tonight at Illinois. The Wizard Walt Williams will be joining us 12:30. Preview that game. Fighting Illini, number 17 in the country. We'll talk about what happened in the Big Ten in hoops last night and look ahead to this evening's action. Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun. We'll talk about Harbs yesterday, the Ravens offseason, the big free agents. They don't look like they're potentially losing a lot, either in coaching or in personnel, but still, you got to pay somebody. So we'll talk about that. Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun, couldn't connect with him yesterday. We'll talk about the Orioles less than a month away from pitchers and catchers with the caravan about to hit the road, too.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John Harbaugh talking about Justin Tucker. Total request Thursday. A little Paul McCartney for you. Starting at 11 o'clock, it's votes in Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in a couple of hours at least. And Justin Tucker had a rough go of it. Worst year of his career. But since he came back from the bye, didn't miss a kick. Now, wasn't in any game-winning situations, but he kicked a couple of 50-plusers, banged a 47-yarder against the Bills, so he seemed to have figured out whatever was bothering him. But let me count this down. Let's see. 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. 13 years in. He's going into his 14th season next year.
Yep.
Does he finally, maybe, get real competition, or do they just bring in a leg to, you know, which they've done before? Is Justin Tucker kicking for his job next year, or is he still secure in his status as one of the best place kickers in the National Football
League? Listening to Eric and John, Bob, they'll bring in a young guy, but I don't. It's not really. I mean, it being a just like you were talking about off the air when Cundiff was here and had the problem. You know, Tucker came in as an undrafted free agent and beat him out.
Yes, he did.
So I'm guessing they'll bring in Randy Brown will go pick an undrafted free agent that he likes out there. And Randy Brown is the kicking coach. And bring in that guy and see if Tucker can do what Tucker did to Cundiff, if somebody can do that to Tucker. Will it happen? I don't think. I mean, Bob, Tucker was good at the beginning, good at the end. Sucked in the middle.
Ooh, bad.
Yes.
And from distance, last couple years, Vinny, he's been inaccurate based on his career stats.
And Bob, now Stout is kicking off a lot more. So, yeah.
Save the leg, I guess. Save the leg.
But I do give Tucker credit for getting his way out of it, climbing out of it. It's probably the closest thing, Bob, would be like guy shooting free throws or a golfer, you know, that can't. And you can get all the coaching and stuff you want, but if it's between the ears,
sure,
you're the only guy that can fix that. And I give Tucker credit for fighting through. He made like 23 straight. And, you know, you can say that, you know, it wasn't an end of the game kick, the Buffalo kick. It was a critical kick.
Yeah.
When he made that.
I don't want to rehash what happened Sunday. I would have bet $10 that Bass would have missed one of his.
I'm right there with you, especially the 51-yarder. I said, no way.
But there you go. What do you think, Nolan, time for comp, or are you secure the old JT there?
Well, there's nothing wrong with competition, and even when Tucker was at the top of his game, they've made a point routinely to bring in younger, undrafted kickers, and a lot of them would latch on elsewhere because they actually impressed in preseason action when Tucker wasn't needed. I think about Will Lutz, maybe one of the more prominent names that the Ravens identified first and went elsewhere. So
Graham Gano was a Ravens training camp guy.
Or even we brought him in after, because Bob, you know, because Graham Gano, we played the Ravens in the preseason when I was at the Redskins, and Graham Gano kicked the crap out of the ball, and we needed a kicker. We went and got Graham.
I was going to say Ravens legend Kerry Vedvik. Got the Ravens that fifth round pick.
Remember they traded him? Oh, my God.
Shout out Minnesota. Thank you.
I forgot all about him, like everybody else has. What, he kicked like 70 yarders in practice or something?
I think he could punt and kick. That was his appeal.
Yeah. So he's like an actor-singer. Like Eliza Minnelli. All right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583. Kerry Vedvik. Damn, Nolan, I forgot all about that dude. Let's go to Ed and Arbutus. Ed, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Bob, Benny, good morning, both you gentlemen.
Morning.
season-ending Raven assessments. Think that Flowers, Bateman, and likely as a group are poised to reach another rung on the ladder. Mm-hmm. I hope Mark Andrews battles back to rise above it all. Henry and Hill, no issue. Just leave it alone. Perfect change of pace duo. Lamar solidified prime to take it all next year. We'd like to see a mobile backup at it in likeness to what the Commanders have in Mariota, a just-in-case guy. Mitchell, I think he could settle into the main return guy in Hill's backup. Like Wallace in the Swiss Army knife skill set, quality depth guy. O-line, would like to see another big body center slash guard for versatility readiness. Robinson and Owe, high motor strides on the edges, both athletically run down fast, they're improving. Matabuke, Pierce, Jones, Washington, steady. Van Noy, saw no drop-off. Textbook strong, shutdown edge play, right guy in the right spot. Roquan and Harrison, like backers, no issues. Physicality, finishers, crisp board, capable backup. Hamilton and Humphrey, playmakers, no drop-off. Top of their game, float defenders. They play recognition smart. We'd like to see Notre Dame safety Xavier Watts added in with that group. Ardarius Washington, great in run support tackling, knows for the football, needs to add sure picks when it comes his way. Mm-hmm. Wiggins, knows the league now, potential shutdown playmaker upside. Simpson, he got lost in the sauce. We'd like to see him rotational edge rush, just chase the ball forward. Just like when Queen was struggling here, go forward. Ricard, at his craft, he's the best. Every game post, supreme blocker, and he does so with no flags. Kane, good specials, cover guy, sure tackles, showed well in college and preseason, like to see him in the mix a little bit. Kicker and punter, as you guys just mentioned, reliably redeemed to finish the season strong, should be settled going into next year. Phase unit coordinators and head coach, hopefully they're all retained. I see no issues. In regard to Zach Orr, you're not going to beat him in intensity. Remaining games, rooting for the rookie down the road. That's it, gentlemen, and I thank you for your courtesy.
All right, Ed and Arbutus. By the way, if Daniels gets to the Super Bowl, be the first rookie ever to lead his team to the Super Bowl. Great analysis, as always, from Ed. And safety, I mean, did you see enough from Kane? Bo Braid didn't really play much, so we don't know.
Bo Braid is...
Maryland, of course.
Yeah, Bo Braid's weakness is deep pass, range. I mean, he's good ball in front of him. So is he a starting safety? Probably not. Kane, have not seen enough of him. TJ Tampa is going to be the interesting guy because I think he's a player. Now, with Simpson, Bob, I think I'd go into the draft with Simpson as... If we get anything out of whatever we get out of Simpson is kind of a bonus, you know, like we'll still take a guy in the third or fourth round, something like that, to compete with Simpson because Harrison and Board are both free agents.
Yeah.
So I got to have somebody there because Simpson, he got worse or he was one. Because all of a sudden, the biggest thing was Roquan became Roquan when Simpson left.
So the needs are pressing, but not
red flag. I would like pressing. To ask the linebacker coach, you know, can he be that consistent starter?
Right, and the thing with Washington is smallish. Gets banged up a little bit, and can you rely on him to hit the post 17 times a season?
Yes. Yeah.
Real quick, and you brought it up, Nolan McGraw, Kerry Vedvick. I forgot about that guy. Traded him to Minnesota for a fifth-round draft pick, 2020 draft, which the Ravens turned into Broderick Washington.
Oh, nice.
Joe!
And I think, their other fifth-rounder was packaged to trade for Marcus Peters?
Joe!
DaCosta Masterclass.
How about that? It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. If you're on the phone, hang tight. We'll take your phone calls. How would you judge this Ravens season? It ended short of a championship game, much less the Super Bowl. So we thumbs up, we thumbs down. It's a B, it's an A, and it's an F, whatever you want to do. Get into that. Terps tonight taking on Illinois, getting that strong niner in Champaign, Maryland. 6-21. On the road with Kevin Willard as the head coach. Walt Williams will preview that game at 12:30.
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of the Fan.
You're not successful, the play calling is going to be in question. You know, we question it too. We looked at it really hard. We ran it the first time, and they ran it all out, pretty much an all-out blitz, and stopped it. You can definitely run three times into an all-out blitz if you want, but that's probably not very smart. We had a play. The second play was an idea to get kind of sneak Ronnie out. You know, you can say, well, it's a bad call, but if it works and he's wide open, it's a great call.
John Harbaugh talking about that particular sequence where the Ravens had to settle for three after Rashad Bateman made that great catch, got him inside the two. Why not run Derrick Henry three times? And if Bob Haney was going to question the decision-making, that would be the only one. And I know a lot of people out there would like to catapult John Harbaugh into the stratosphere and bring in anyone but him to coach the team. But he explained what Buffalo did schematically. I still ain't buying it.
No, they all blitzed on the first down. Right, they did. But I'm guessing that because the second down play was a trick play. It was a pass to Ronnie Stanley.
Oh, that would have worked.
You know, so if you see that something is not going to work, you know, you see the coverage or you see the defense are lined up in, no, this got no shot. I'm sure that they have a check with me in there. You know, like it's whatever the name of the play call was that they called, or, you know, like 27, say 27 is the handoff to Henry. 88 or 27, check with me. 87 is the play call, but, you know, I'm checking to 27, I'm going to hand it. You know, I mean, that would be the ideal thing, because if you got a trick play, you know, there's got to be an audible to get out of it. And then hand it, because the next time they were down there, Henry got walked in for the touchdown.
How about that? How about that, Nolan? You gave the guy a rush for 1,900 yards. He scored a touchdown in the red zone.
I mean, I don't want to go here, but it does kind of feel like the Seahawks with Marshawn Lynch in the Super Bowl. You're right there. Stakes much lower. But we're not talking about to win the Super Bowl.
Not that much lower.
You know, like even like the more I even think about
one week
Bob,
two, you
the,
know what
the
mean?
More I think about it, you got a dude that's got double digit touchdowns. He's 250 pounds, and he's rushed for over 2,000 yards. And you're going to run a dick'em play, in a critical situation.
Yeah, let's go to our left tackle. Has Ronnie Stanley ever caught a pass before? I don't know if he has. Unfortunately, I don't have that career stat line in front of me. I remember Haloti Ngata would get out there and do a little Dave Casper, but
that was probably the last thing people expected Harbaugh to say when he was asked about it, and they probably figured he would say, oh, well, yeah, we probably should have given it to Henry. He's been the workhorse all year. The last thing we expected is, no, we wanted a trick play there that didn't work.
Yeah,
when have the Ravens ever had success with trick plays, especially in gotta-have-it situations?
I mean, you know what it's like? Texas, down there on the 1 yard line.
Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah.
Against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Yeah, they trick you into thinking they're scoring a touchdown. They have to settle for three. That took some testiculuses to make that.
I hand it to Derrick Henry three times, and you know what? If they stop him three times, hey, Buffalo, congratulations,
so
man.
So be it. Yep. All right, let's get out to the phones. Go to Baltimore. It's Rashawn. Rashawn, thanks for holding. How you feeling on this Total Request Thursday?
I'm still trying to digest what happened over the weekend, man, you know. And also just trying to come to grips that the NFC Championship is this Sunday and two NFC East teams in it, and none of them are the Cowboys. So, and one of them are the Commanders at that, you know. That's definitely painful to see. You know, but things about to change in Cowboys world. You know, they about to get shot in hammer. So,
that's who they're going to hire?
I think so, man. You know, now
as
listen,
the head
Vinny.
Coach?
Yes.
Yeah, Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
Because Marty's in the big football field in the sky.
Yeah, wow. Now listen, Benny. I know you don't like the Schottenheimers, man. I know the guy.
I like Kirk.
You like Kirk? Okay. Because I know his father fired you on your day off back in the day in Washington, man, you know. But, I mean, I think he can bring something fresh and fresh ideas to the organization, man. He's been there, so he knows the players and everything. So just give the guy a shot. They keep saying he's a pushover. I mean, he's a Schottenheimer, man. The Schottenheimers ain't no pushover. You know, he got his father's playbook. You know, we're going to play some Marty ball down in Dallas next season. You know?
What happened to Kellen Moore? Isn't he in the equation anymore?
He's in Philly. They can't talk to him.
Yeah, he's in Philly. Right.
Yeah. So, but other than that, man, on to the Ravens, man. I heard y'all quoting The Godfather earlier, Bob, you know.
Yes.
Like that one scene in there when Michael told Fredo, "You broke my heart, man."
No. It was Don going to Michael when they're sitting there drinking wine in the flower bed or whatever. He goes, "The person that sets up the meeting, that's the traitor. Don't forget that." That sort of thing.
But he was
seeking advice from the Don before he gave him that advice.
Yeah, he was seeking advice, but I'm talking about a different scene in The Godfather when Michael found out Fredo was the traitor.
Oh, that was Godfather 2.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, "You broke my heart." You know, that's how I feel about Andrews, man. You broke my heart, Andrews.
Okay.
So,
you know. I know it was you, Fredo.
I know it was you, man.
Yeah, man. Then he shot him on the fishing boat. Spoiler alert. You've never seen The Godfather.
Yeah. Classic movie, man. By the way,
Jaws the shark gets killed at the end. I don't want to spoil it for you.
The mechanical shark.
All right, Rashawn, take it easy. Pining for a Schottenheimer. I mean, look, I don't know Marty or Brian or Zeke or Shemp from anybody. But has he really got that sort of juice? And he's always been kind of an offensive coordinator who's bounced around a little bit.
And he's been in Dallas. He was an analyst, and then he's
But is their offense really the problemo there?
Talent's their problem.
Yeah.
They don't have any O linemen. They don't have any D linemen. They gave up a ton of yards in the run game. They need to get some players, Bob, is what they need.
Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. If you're on the phones, hang tight. We'll get you next. You want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. It's Total Request Thursday. Pick a song. We'll play it. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. That comes up at 11 o'clock. Ravens season, successful, disappointing. If you're grading it as a teacher, you give it an A or an F or somewhere in between. A lot of people watching Brandon Stevens play cornerback weren't real happy unless you were the offensive coordinator for the other team. Hitting free agency, we've discussed him many times. Vinny and Haney, Nolan McGraw, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Quick draw over there. Breakout, and I'm using air quotes, 2023 for Stevens. Looked like a guy could be on the verge of an extension.
Yep.
Now he hits free agency as a guy that might be hitting the road more than anything else.
Yeah, he became a liability. The biggest problem with Stevens is, I mean, and we've said it every year about the guy, Bob, he's going to be where he's supposed to be, but the guy's going to catch the ball. I mean, bottom line, couldn't find a ball. And this year it became really bad. And I'm guessing last year, probably what helped him a lot, Bob, was Humphrey was not good. So people were going, remember that Miami game? I mean, they were attacking Humphrey.
Well, the Rams scored.
Or the Rams, Rams, that's what I mean. Yeah. So, Brandon Stevens this year, I mean, he was known by all the national pundits all the time before the games. Brandon Stevens is the biggest concern. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it all year.
Marcus Spears was like, "That guy scares me."
I mean, throughout the year, every Monday, like my key in this last game was that we're not talking about Brandon Stevens negatively on Monday. He was a huge liability, and He's not going to get better finding the football. I wouldn't, like, I think you said it, Bob. If he doesn't get anything out there and he wants to come back for the minimum salary, okay. But otherwise, I got to get better than him because I can't, if I'm Zach Orr, I'm always got to protect him.
Right, and we were talking where you were out of one winning drive, me and Nolan, what team would be at least intrigued by, I can get the most out of him. Do you see him getting a deal that the Ravens wouldn't think about matching, or does he come back when, well, I'll take a team-friendly deal? I mean, is he that attractive as a free agent here? I don't know.
No. I mean, we watch him every day. Yeah, if you're a team and you're looking at free agents, you're studying free agents, you're probably going to watch 4 or 5 games of Stevens. I don't know, you know, can you find a game where he plays good? Here's the thing, Bob. It'll be interesting if Seattle has no interest, Miami has no interest, and Tennessee has no interest. Mm-hmm. That says a lot, because those are all the three defensive coaches that were with the Ravens. So I just, and what did it say about Patrick Queen, too? Because remember, we thought he would go to one of those three teams, and he didn't go to any of those three teams, and Seattle needed an inside linebacker. So I think that kind of says a lot about him. I would rather play against him. If I'm Todd, and if we're playing against him, I'm sure the offensive guys are lined up wanting to go against him.
What do you think, Aaron Nolan, real quick?
I mean, I'd imagine somebody would scoop him up because of his age. I mean, let's see here.
What's he, 28?
Yeah, he's 27. So I'm looking at some of the other names here, free agent corners, because that could determine things as well. You know, bigger name guys in Carlton Davis from Detroit, Charvarius Ward in San Francisco, maybe even DJ Reed with the Jets.
Douglas with Buffalo.
Right. So, I mean, if those guys are going to set the market in terms of corners, then maybe Stevens falls short. Maybe he has to settle for a 1-year prove-it deal.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I think that's what he'll have to settle. But didn't Ryan Wilson tell us yesterday that safeties and corners, it's a good year in the draft?
Yeah, and Mel Kiper has the Ravens taking a cornerback at 27. We'll talk more about that. Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Vinny and Haney. Total Request Thursday. Mike in Water's Edge. Mike, thanks for holding. What's up?
How we doing, guys?
Good.
Good, good. Hey, real quick, couple things. The season, I'd grade them out as a B. I mean, they started 0-2. They had some adversity they got through. I just wish they would have made this switch in the defensive backfield earlier, but it is what it is. And then wanted to get your opinion. It's looking far into the future, but Henry's contract's up at the end of next year, I believe.
Yes.
You draft a running back this year?
No.
What do you think they'll do? And then real quick, so you guys out of Green Valley, I guess Bob didn't hit the big scratch off.
No,
I did. No, I didn't hit the mega where I got to retire scratch off, but I got a freebie, couple freebies, and I spent $20. I walked home ahead. What's 20? I had 110. $90 ahead. How's that?
Nice. Me and Norm lost.
And I spent it all on scratch offs, ironically enough.
I hit 50 on mine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Nice.
Shout out to the listener.
Yeah. I guess I grabbed, like when they threw the cards, I gave Bob one and I kept the other. I got all the dogs.
And mine was barking. You got a winner here. But addressing some of his points, drafting a running back, we doing that? You got Ali, you got Hill, you got Keaton Mitchell coming back.
Yeah, I don't, I guess if Ricard goes elsewhere, I'll draft a fullback. If you consider that.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, if I draft a running back, Bob, it's a wasted pick because he can't make the team.
And B, I think, is a fair grade.
I agree with that.
They made the playoffs. They won their division, but they didn't get that A+. Ralph in Bel Air. Ralph, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Gentlemen, how you doing? So I'll give, from the teacher analogy point of view. Now, on this particular semester, they get a B+, but they fail the year because they've had the same test for 2 or 3 years now. And the correct answer that they keep missing is, do you run the ball, yes or no? And they keep saying no. And so they keep failing that particular question. So you look
that's
at it,
not why they failed. That's not why they failed against Buffalo, not running the ball.
I mean, I'm thinking
they ran for 176 yards.
Well, okay, but in the key points, that's what I'm saying. It's like you throw the ball, but you've been running it. We've been talking all morning about how you give it to Henry 3 times, right?
And right. Right.
That's what I'm saying, right? In those instances, they fail that test because they've seen the same quiz, right? And they refuse to follow what the teacher said was the correct answer for 3 years. know what I'm saying? It was like, that's just a frustration. It's been frustration for 3 years on it, guys. That's all I had to say about it.
I feel your frustration. Yep. They get a B on the quarterly exam, but they get, a C for the end of year exam. They got a C for the semester or for the year.
I don't know.
I got thrown out of high school. What do I know?
He said F.
First.
Gave an F.
For failing the final exam.
Oh.
The first quarter, the defense got an F.
No doubt.
Yeah.
For flailing.
Yeah.
But failing grade for the season? That's not fair.
No.
Jets, yes. Giants, yes.
Tennessee,
yes. Jacksonville, absolutely. But we can get into that and more. Let's move on. Coming up next, Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun. Talk about the Ravens' end-of-season press conference yesterday with John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta, and then look ahead now to the offseason, which has begun. Whip around left 15 tons going on in world sports last night, including hoops in the Big Ten. Indiana, what's going on over there? And then Matt Wyrick. Talk Orioles less than a month away from pitchers and catchers. If there's an addition coming Mike Elias's way, where is it and where does it need to be?